The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, welcome back. Episode 189 of the NAFTA podcast. We got John, we got Nick, we got Dylan. Dylan looking very festive with his Wolves sweater on, Christmas sweater, looks beautiful. I had a great week away from the state of Ohio. How's everyone's week going? How'd their weekend go? Anybody have any good stories?
No.
So Nick didn't enjoy our mother's birthday, it sounds like, so he's a terrible son.
Wow.
We took our mother out.
I'm sorry, I paid for the whole thing.
Oh, damn.
We're literally splitting it.
I know.
Hey, Barb's listening. She just shut it off right now when she's going through. That's all she needed to hear.
I do need to ask, though, what was Barb's review of Hamilton?
A 9.7, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
She had a lot of questions.
Really?
History-related questions, yeah.
Did she lean on you for accuracy?
Yes.
Yeah, Nick was upset that it wasn't historically accurate.
No, the first act I have issues with. Second act was much better.
Okay. Did
the big revelation was explaining to Barb that the 10 dual commandments was based off of a song called 10 Crack Commandments. That one blew her mind.
Yeah, yeah. My mother, same way. I think I was explaining some of the songs to her. Was your Hamilton also 5'3", but had a voice of like an angelic god? Yeah.
Yes.
That guy's awesome.
JJ.
The Jefferson guy, the guy that played Jefferson was, first off, he's a brick shithouse. He's like 6'5", probably like 210.
Yeah.
But just that dude, it's the word of the year. That dude's got Riz.
Yeah. When we went, Madison was just a huge, like, he was a pulling tackle for an NFL team. He was a humongous man. Hamilton was great, though. Glad Barb liked it. I was pumped you guys were going when we saw it. I showed Lex right away. Hey, sorry, Michael, I'm taking... Go ahead, Nick.
The one thing I wanted to know is the pamphlet that he wrote, you know, where he exposed his own affair. So I looked it up today and I wanted to read it. I'm like, oh, what is it, like 2 or 3 pages? Bro, it's 20 pages long. He describes the entire affair. I'm like, oh, I really got to sit down and read this thing. I thought it'd be like, I'll read it for like 20 minutes while I'm eating lunch. Nope.
You read a 20-page pamphlet today of Hamilton's affair?
I'm going to. I didn't have the time, but I printed it out. It was 20 pages.
It's the original smut. That's like, what, like, you know.
It was smart.
Yeah. I'm curious how he tries to sell it.
The original 50 Shades.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the original, like, oh, if you're reading it on the subway, you got to put another book on the outside of it, type of thing. Like,
fuck that. Oh, own that shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael. Read 50 Shades of Grey wherever you are.
I hijacked your episode, Michael. My bad.
You're good. I also just, I don't want to get into this any further, but I'm just questioning the accuracy of American history textbooks in general. But
well, they're so vague. They are accurate. So what do you want to say?
just the minimal amount of information that lets it fly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds like good weekends all around. We had an incredible week of Premier League football, obviously. Some big upsets. We talked about how winning on the road is tough. Some teams can do it, some teams can't. But first and foremost, as we always do, we can get on with our dudes of the week. I'm sure we'll have a lot from one or two teams, and definitely not, there better be not from a couple teams. But this is the first time I'm hosting. I'll graciously go last. I'll just pick the order with how I see it on the thing. Dylan, Nick, John, myself, and we'll go from there. So, Dylan, do you want to kick us off with dudes of the week?
I will do one that's close to home. My boy, Raul. Wolf's form is back, so you're welcome, Fulham. Don't have to think about Mitrovic anymore, but he's even heading it in now. So, like, I think the injury's officially gone. Not great for when we have to face him in Copa America, if he's playing like this, but I'm happy that he's back on his feet and absolutely crushing it.
Shout out to Raul Jimenez.
Si, senor.
I'll go with a little disappointing here that I did get some of my bold takes checked off here, but I'm happy for my boy Richarlison. Scored a brace and kept his shirt on twice. That's pretty damn impressive for him, so good for him.
No cards.
Yeah.
Self-restraint is his number one New Year's resolution, I feel like. Look, I'm going to go with one that I've said before, but the reason I'm bringing it up is a different reason now. You guys don't have to deal with the commenters that often in our shit. Whoever commented in and said Dom Solanke's not good, there were three of you. You guys are idiots. Dom Solanke's real good, and he could start on any Premier League team, especially with how bad City's playing right now. He could start on any Premier League team.
You can't Dom play Solanke. United, Nick?
No, he's not good. We just suck.
Oh.
I beg to disagree on that one. Yeah, beg to disagree on that one. Dom Solanke is not elite, but he's top tier. He's like the Joe Flacco, as we were talking off camera, of the Premier League. I think he's elite. So, shout out to Dom Solanke, and fuck the commenters.
All right, commenters, I'm going to give you a double whammy here. Marcus Tavernier is mine. 2 assists, even though Lucas Digne put me in my fucking place 1 week later after saying that he was overrated. Marcus Tavernier at least gets me back to 50-50 with 2 assists against Manchester United. And then I have to go, I think, 2 weeks back-to-back, or maybe we didn't call him out explicitly in Dudes of the Week. I'm going John McGinn. Has to be. Absolute workhorse. He is what makes Aston Villa tick. The captain of that team. Absolutely. Let's put him up real quick. There we go. John McGinn, absolute fucking legend for Aston Villa. And probably one of the best weeks in their recent history, at least. So
I think I'm going to do the rest of the pod like this, just to shout out Mr. McGinn. But I'm going to go to his teammate next. Just because it makes me question every time I see him if I love him or I hate him, and I think that's just an interesting mental conundrum to have to deal with yourself. Emi Martinez. I don't know. How do you guys feel? Do you like Emi? Do you hate Emi? I love the antics when it's not happening against City.
Yeah.
He's having a great year, though. Shout out to Emi.
I love Emi.
Love to hear it. Nick, you can go, Nick. I think.
Yeah, took mine. So I'm pausing for a second. I know, it took me a second. Well, I didn't want to do what I did last week, so I'm taking a nice, calm, extra second to pause. We're going to jump across the water a little bit here. Very small little jump here across the channel, but we're going to go with Girona, who is pulling off their best 15-16 impression of Leicester City. Just absolutely smacking Barcelona, and the best part is that the starting right back for Girona was sent out by Barcelona to get more playing time. And he went out, which clearly a different rule than England, and was, I believe he was man of the match. If I might have missed it, but he apparently had an unreal game. Good for them. Love the little guy.
John, have you ever rooted against a team not to come in the top three positions in La Liga before? Or four?
No,
I'm pretty sure you can't play in Champions League if they make Champions League.
You think that's a rule?
That's a real rule.
That's what happened. No, it's going to happen. Yes, it is.
It's not going to happen.
It's literally what might happen to us if we make it. And
I mean, you're also be, you know,
you better hope, you better play, hope to God it, that happens.
I'm just saying. It's a rule.
Could you imagine, though? Like, that's
such
bullshit.
You have to choose
bullshit.
Your favorite club.
No, it's such bullshit for the Girona people that if, you know, they do go top of the table, they're just not going to be able to play Champions League because there's no possible way. No possible way.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, City's going to finish fifth. What are you worried about?
Yeah, okay. Hopefully we get to play United 6 more times this year. We get top 4 for sure.
Oh, okay. That's the
way you can get a win, apparently.
You want me to live anymore?
Dylan, I think it's your turn,
dude. Where we were. Yeah, I lost just where we were.
All right, who's ready for Dylan to butcher some names? We're going to do a shout-out to the big old Toffees. Did I get that right? Abdoulaye Decore. I know I could say Decore. So, absolutely crushing it. The new front man taking over for DCL. So, I'm pretty sure he had a goal in this game, but I'm pretty sure he has like 4 or 5 goals in the last like 6 or 7, leading the resurgence for the non getting relegated Toffees.
Big time.
Yeah. And I think number three is going to be James McAtee, just because his goal was a fucking pisser. It was a rocket, and honestly, anyone beating teams above me that I hopefully don't think are going to end up catching me so we can get top, you know, top 10, you're good in my book.
Shout out, James.
Former City guy.
My last do of the week is relegation. Relegation battle heating up. Two of the three teams getting points. Forest on the slide. It's going to get interesting. I think that gaining some points where they shouldn't gain some points is going to be interesting. It might be a four-team race before we know it. Maybe a five-team race if Palace keeps sliding.
Yeah. So I have just a typical older brother conundrum right now. There is definitely one shout-out that needs to happen that I know would be geographically close to Michael to be able to do, and he hasn't done it yet, so I'm a little shocked. So I could either take that one and piss him off, or...
Go ahead. I got two.
I got one that I think makes a little bit more sense for the vast majority of us on this podcast. I do think we need to shout out the Luton Town fans. I think Kenilworth Road is, like... I can't believe how tough it has been to play for certain teams there. And you know what? I showed them a ton of disrespect beginning of this season, and we're not nothing if not a growing podcast, and we all grow throughout the year. So Kenilworth Road, the Luton Town fans, you deserve to be a dude of the week because the performances you're putting out there are top tier.
I just want to note, we do have a bold prediction that they will beat a top six team at Kenilworth Road. And they got one of them coming up in 3 weeks, it looks like. So, oh, two? You said two top six?
I said okay, two. Well,
you better hope. There's two very likely ones coming, but, you know, just saying. I thought it was just one. All right, I'll you know, put a bow on this one. Cucho Hernandez. I got the C and the H mixed up. Winning the MLS Cup for Columbus, it was actually a beat down the first half. I thought they were going to get three or four after that. His penalties what kicked it off. Yaya Boa, right after that, 4 minutes later, beat LAFC. LAFC had not lost in the postseason playoffs. They were 7-0-0 through that point. And they also were 3-0 against Columbus Crew, outscoring them 7-0. In those three games. So, huge hurdle for them. Just want to shout out my guy, Lexi Lawless, for that one, too. You know, Columbus Crew back on top again. Love to see it.
People are saying the lower.com field is the Kenilworth Road of the MLS. I'm just saying.
Some people 4 weeks ago, you know, bet them to win it all. Just also saying.
Did you really?
Attaboy.
Roll back the tape. I took them each leg of this saying that they're going to end up winning it.
Like, before Philly was out? Is that kind of messed up?
I said it. Well, they wouldn't have met until the conference finals. So at that point, I said it, and then Philly was out. So
What was the payout, if you don't mind me being so gauche to ask?
Well, they were plus 285 in every game until, I think, this last one, I don't know, it was like around 185, 200.
There you go.
So
yeah, they were favorites for this one.
They just wanted to avenge Dylan for last season, them getting robbed.
Yeah,
we literally had a friend who was from the beginning of it just betting the opposite way, so that, you know, whoever to beat Columbus Crew, $50 every time. He did it the whole time as good luck so the Crew would win. So shout out to him as well. But love to see the Crew back on top. All right, dudes of the week done and dusted there. I told John, I texted John frantically when I was driving on my way home from Indiana. I said, John, I want to lead this episode because it's a 3.5-hour drive. I was around kids the whole weekend. Got to watch a couple of the games. Got to watch all the highlights. And I just had so many thoughts in my head. I got this notebook. I wrote all my thoughts down. This is something I wanted to do. It was just in the silence of my brain. John, go ahead.
Can I interrupt you real quick? Did you, like, pull off an exit to, like, a Staples and get that notebook? Or have you had that notebook?
This has been in my possession. I didn't know what to do with it.
Okay. I wasn't sure how strong. I wanted to know how strong the urge actually was. Where you looked at Morgan in the car, you're like, sorry, babe. Got to hit a Staples real quick. I got to get this down on paper.
Well, first of all, if you think she was awake, you are mistaken. So I was in silence, like, driving. Well, I was listening to stuff. But I wanted to do just a little bit different approach this week because I think there are some overarching points that I would like to discuss. So what we're going to do, we obviously have our two big games. We're going to start off with those, and then we're going to go through the rest of the games after this, and then I have some questions for everybody and some discussion points. First of all, you want to say something else, John?
The completion rate, the listen-through rate on this one's going to suck.
That's why do you think that?
John is so eager to see this thing crash and burn. It's such an older brother moment right now.
I know. I was just, you know.
You got this, Michael.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just want to say, it really, really naffed a podcast of us for this whole time. We leave the biggest games towards the end when that's what's actually going to get people to listen. I guarantee people stop listening early on because we're not going to get to that point.
Are we having a production meeting live on the air?
Yeah, all right. Everyone, put your shit down. We're going to talk about this for a second.
We'll do it live.
Anyway, all right. We're just going to kick it off here. Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 0. John McGinn goal assisted by Leon Bailey in the, I think it was the fourth or fifth or sixth minute, real early on. Probably the biggest week for Villa, like I said, in their recent history, beating Manchester City, treble winners, and then beating top of the table Arsenal. Seeing themselves slide up the top into third now. I don't really know where I stand on this one because I didn't get to watch it. I just got to see the highlights. Is it more of Villa being good or Arsenal being bad? Or where do we all stand on this, people who watch the game?
So let me give you just the quick hitting top hits. And then Dylan, I'm pretty sure you were watching it, weren't you? Yeah. So what it felt like to me watching this game was in the first 30 minutes, Aston Villa hit a runner's high, was a freight train. There was no stopping them whatsoever. They were going to get a goal. Did not matter. And then for the first time since I've watched Villa this season, from basically the 38th minute to the end of the game, it was squeaky bum time. The entire, like, they looked dead a little bit. They sheer will, they're coached so well, they're so well drilled that they didn't give up a goal and they don't make mistakes. And I think that's so key. Arsenal didn't particularly play well, I didn't think. But it didn't matter who was out there. Like, prime Brazil in the first 35 minutes, Villa was going to get a goal. Like, it just was going to happen. And then it kind of was like survival at that point. Dylan, what were your thoughts?
Kind of same. They were bats out of hell. Hell to start that game. Like, literally, it was only, to your point, a matter of time. But, like, I don't think it was an Arsenal being bad thing. Like, I think it's more of what we've seen of Arsenal, where defensively they were still pretty sound. It's just they had some unlucky moments. They hit a few posts. And then outside of that, like, I'm not going to say they should be complaining about some of the things that Arteta finally learned that he's just not going to say anything about, as, unfortunately, I've seen firsthand with the Wolves as well. You just got to keep your mouth shut, unfortunately, and hope that calls go your way. But, like, it at this point, it's a fortress. Like, you have to call a spade a spade. Like, you go to Villa, just expect to lose. And that's what's going to propel them into this. And I think it's, if anything, it's more, I haven't lost faith in what Arsenal can do. It's more the justification of, I think we're allowed to actually talk about Villa being in this title race at this point.
So, Nick, before I let you go, the one other thing I'll say that I think is so key is, like, Villa won the two biggest games of their season and maybe of the past 5 years of them being in the Prem. I know they won a European trophy. I'm not trying to belittle that. But they won these two games two different ways. And I think that's awesome. Like, that makes me feel like Unai Emery is actually, like Michael, we said a couple pods ago, he is a top three manager in this league for sure.
Yeah.
But
100%.
There was a discussion. There's a few points that I think after this game I heard them talk about on NBC for this game and another game that we'll probably talk about later. But I think Unai's at the perfect club too, because I think for what he wants to do and the total control that Villa gives him to actually do, like, player recruitment and what's actually happening with the staff coming in and analytics and all that stuff, compared to, like, I think there's people saying, like, hey, maybe he'll go to United, you know, if it doesn't work out with Ten Hag or somewhere bigger. But I think, like, this is the place for him to be because he has that control compared to what we saw him do at Arsenal. Like, I'm not saying I don't think he would be successful at a bigger club, but it's like, hey, right below that second tier club is exactly where he can thrive. And it's the same thing that probably should have happened with Potter too, and should realize where he was and not go Icarus near the sun. So like, I think it's just a perfect marriage right now. And it's like sky's the limit, as much as it sucks for me to say for Villa.
I think that's absolutely correct though, because like Villa don't not have money. Villa have money. Like Villa, and it's not just from a Grealish signing. They have money. When Unai was the most successful, he was at Sevilla. Mm-hmm. And like, this is Sevilla in the Premier League. Like, they have money to blow. He's very good at finding young talent. Like, he's going to be able to take the Grealish money, which they already did, and turn it into a bunch of great players. He's going to take Douglas Luiz and turn him into a bunch of great players. He's going to take probably Ollie Watkins at some point and turn him into a few good players too. Like, this is just, they're going to be able to rinse and repeat, I think, as long as he's there. So,
yeah, I was just adding exactly what Dylan said. Was I was going to say, he's the perfect mid-major, you know, coach. Like you said, granted, he had some issues with the club at Arsenal that he had to deal with. But when you look at Arsenal and PSG, you know, he did what he's supposed to do in Paris. He wins the league. But you look at his record in Europe, you know, and he can do what he wants. He can get a bunch of guys that are hungry that want to get to the next level. And his motivation, his tactics, his coaching style, his grit that he can instill in a team fits perfectly, as you said, with that second tier team. And you can make them overachieve. You know, so, I mean, do we call him Shaka Smart at Texas? I don't know. But, you know, probably, yeah. But I hate it, but this is what we needed, honestly, after the last 3 years. Like, of just City dominating so much and just kind of, like, you always knew they were going to come back. Like, this nice wrench in terms of the shakeup of who's where and what, it's pretty awesome from just watching the league. And hopefully over the long term, it'll sit here, everybody within 2 or 3 points all year.
Before we move to the next one too, can we all just agree that winning at PSG is not a barometer of success? Nick, I think you could win at PSG, dude. And I don't think you're a bad coach, but I think anyone could win at PSG. I think if you don't win at PSG, we should talk about that.
I'll take a championship wherever I can get one.
Exactly.
All right, John, I see you kind of took the reins here. So Arsenal, we're all talking about Aston Villa, but my thing is with Arsenal right now, we've talked about their offense, right? We obviously think they're a title contender. Dylan has them winning. Dylan also just said here, Villa deserve to be in that conversation. So really that's, you know, top of the table can kind of go either way. Talked about VAR a little bit. Where do we stand on the handball call?
It's the right call.
Correct. Okay. And then I watched the highlights. I just want to make sure.
Because no, I'm it's not you asking it. I think if anyone says it should have been a goal, you're
Oh, brother.
Dumb. Like, oh, brother. I do. If you think you're that the offensive
you're not player, on the corners of the internet, I'm on.
No, I'm not. If you think that the ball can hit the offensive player's hand and then within seconds there could be a goal for that offense, I think that you shouldn't watch this sport.
It's not a goal. It's like a little rule.
Yeah.
This is
I don't know.
This is me getting us on the record. We're getting on the right side here. All right. The other one, which wasn't even in the highlight, actually, I had to go find like the actual video of it to check. The kick out on Jesus not being called. So I just want to say that literally was a penalty in the Crystal Palace Liverpool game.
But all right, before we all answer, is it a penalty or not? There is not one person on this panel. I know there's not. Before we answer that, it's not. There is not one person on this panel that wanted that to be a penalty. I know that. And Dylan, you have them winning the league.
Which, may I add, I'm very happy that Drunk Dylan put that bet in the night before, because after winning that game, the odds went down by 1,000 points. So plus 2,600 to plus 1,600. I'm not going to say I'm Nostradamus or anything, but I did not want that called.
Yeah. I don't think... So, I mean, I understand that it's been called before, Michael. I think it's... I'm glad it didn't get called. If it happens to City next week, I'm so pissed off.
For sure. My thing here is, again, like I've mentioned, I'm scraping in, you know, I'm on TikTok getting 4 or 5 pictures in a row of just crying from Arsenal fans. And listen, I think what you need to do as a fan. I think that there's two different ways you can go here. If you're like a Chelsea fan, your players play poorly, you just hate them and you sell them and you get new ones, okay? That's just what you do if you're a Chelsea fan. If you're a Liverpool fan, or I would say to a degree a Manchester United fan as well, I think you are sitting there and you're maybe putting a little bit, you love your players probably a little bit too much and you don't give them enough criticism sometimes. I think I love Darwin Nunez to death, but I think sometimes you got to sit there and go, definitely needs to be scoring from 3 yards out, you know? I'm just saying. The amount of no criticism to those Arsenal players, Odegaard missing 2 shots from 12 yards out, Gabby Jesus not being clinical enough finisher, Bukayo Saka, I thought he was one of their best players. I think if you're an Arsenal fan, yes, you can sit there and be upset about the inconsistencies in VAR, but you have to expect more out of your players going forward, especially when there is this blanket over you that offensively you are nowhere near where you were last year. Most of their goals, not most, as in literally most, but too many of their goals are coming from set pieces. Too many of their goals are coming from penalties. Open play, they are abysmal. And I think if you're sitting there watching that game, you have all this possession, you're in and around Aston Villa's box. Never once did it seem you were going to score an actual goal. And I know, you know, you had one go in off a hand and stuff like that, and the rules are with handballs are weird. But I just think, man, you really have to, you really, really, really have to sit there and actually start looking at your players and why isn't Odegaard performing? Why isn't, you know, Declan Rice is one of your best scorers and he's supposed to be your CDM. I just think that before we start crying about the referees, which are terrible all around, and I agree, you got to maybe look at your players a little bit. And I just think that they need to figure it out or they're not going to be up there.
That's fair. I mean, you're not going to hear me saying other supporting groups should be crying about it, because, like, if there's a team that's been fucked more by the refs this year, I think it's the Wolves, to be completely honest. So, like, get over it. I agree with what you're saying. The players need to do it, but, like, this game isn't a knock on Arsenal. Like, should they have probably won? Sure. But I, like, actually think Villa is a top four, potentially top team in this league, at least how they're playing current. Like, power rankings-wise, they're number one right now. So, like, especially at home. So, like, it shouldn't be – you can cry about the refs all you want, right? And you should finish. But, like, in terms of, like, oh, no, Arsenal sucks now, like, to me that's not the case. Like, it's a tough environment. You lost. It happens. Like, move on.
That's for sure. And I feel like Arsenal fans are a little bit like, you know, the only reason we lost this game was because of the refs. Otherwise, we would have smashed Aston Villa. I don't think that's the case, one. And two, I think you could find, you know, you couldn't count on two hands how many games this year have been, like, dramatically affected by referee calls in some way, shape, or form. And again, I just think, you know, if you want to be like an actual human being and somebody who is, like, paying attention to this stuff and, like, push your team forward in some sense, you got to be a little bit realistic. And I just think there's a lot of not realism going around right now. So that's the only thing. I just thought it's interesting because I don't think they played that bad, but, you know, if they lose, it's just never their fault, never the player's fault.
I'll do the last point here. Not clutch yet. Arsenal as a team, not clutch. Like, don't have the gene. Don't have the clutch.
It's funny
dog.
Though because they have the clutch this year.
But we were just talking about this 2 weeks ago that they don't found they have like 8 goals and they don't.
What's it like being clutch in December and November? What has that gotten them? They're not clutch. This team is not going to win this year.
Well, I know. Like, I'll say it. I already established that.
That's fine. That's fine. This Arsenal team, I just don't think they're clutch. So that's my last point.
I guess if by definition, if you're saying you can't be clutch in this time, then you have no proof that they're clutch or not necessarily.
They're Iowa football. That's what they are.
But this is the other thing, too. It looks like they're only 5 goals off the top goal scorer. Like, that's also not a good narrative either. like, they score.
right. But
clutch.
It's how they're getting their goals. It's how they're getting their goals.
Fair.
All right. sorry, Nick, in advance here. The other big game that we have to talk about, Manchester United 0, Bournemouth 3. Goals from Dom Solanke, Philip Billing, and then Senesi, the defender. Two crosses, and then Dom Solanke, obviously the first one was just an unbelievable finish. How good do the fucking Cherries look right now, guys? I mean, they look unbelievable. I think John and I were flirting with a Bournemouth win in this one, and we couldn't bring ourselves to do it. But, man, Solanke, Tavernier, Lewis Cook was actually the player of the game, according to FotMob, in this one. The Cherries look unbelievable.
It's a good team. Nick, you got to go first, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, it was an unbelievable disappointment. Like, I mean, I'm just going to say exactly what you think. Like, I mean, Martial should never put a shirt on ever again. You know, like, Rashford just looks useless. No, he didn't go in. I'm sorry. I watched the first 65 minutes and then watched a couple highlights after. I mean, they're just, all I'm going to say is that it's not the manager. It's not. If you look at the roster, like, it's three or four guys are his guys, you know, and you've got guys going all the way back to, I mean, Vidal and Jose are still playing and they're just not good enough. So it's a matter, you just got to get rid of a bunch of them and you have to start over, which stinks. I mean, but it's what it is. If we're gonna fire the manager, which is the dumbest thing we could do, we're just gonna be here again in how long? You know, in 18 to 24. It's the same thing over and over and over again. It's that circle you see on Instagram where it's like, oh, we get excited, you know, like whatever it is. So I mean, the thing that I do, I actually wrote a question down, and you guys are deeper in the corners of the internet of these things more than I am, and John is, you know, deep in the internet of Chelsea hatred more than most. Yeah. So I guess my question is, because everything we see, United's in crisis, all this, you know, all the headlines. Pochettino, they're doing, obviously, I mean, just obviously the style of play, right, is, I mean, they've shown they can play with the big boys. We can't. But obviously they've had much worse results with teams below them. Is there stuff on the internet saying Pochettino's lost the locker? Like all these things that are being said about United, because we're talking about British bias. We're talking about, oh yeah, we're going there with like United bias. I mean, I'm just, it's more of a genuine question because you guys live deeper in there than I do.
I, Dylan, let me just go real quick. I think though Chelsea has a crutch that you don't have. Chelsea has a crutch that you don't have where it's like, that team is so young. It, like top to bottom compared to you guys. But every time that I've gotten some comments or I try to push back on people or I ask that genuine question too of who's in a better position right now, I'm told Chelsea have younger guys and you just got to let them develop. And like, I think when that is the narrative, there's not as much Pochettino lost it or Pochettino can't do this or Pochettino, because it's like, well, they're learning, that type of thing. Now, do I think that's true? No, I think a lot of the guys they signed suck. Flat, straight up. I think Caicedo sucks. But I agree. I don't think you see that at all. I do think, and we mentioned this on a different pod, like, you guys were the crown jewel of the Premier League for so long that, like, you know, people love a love story, but people love a downfall story even more. Like, so you're saying it sells more papers.
I should be more like Ari Gold with Vince, be like, Brittany already fucked up her comeback. It's time for Vinny Chase. It's basically how I should start thinking about this.
Dylan, can you translate that and then I'll let you go too? I didn't really follow that one, but...
Not an entourage guy?
No, I was, but...
You butchered it.
I know.
Essentially, you're right, and now, yes, Nick, you could maybe make your comeback, but like, I think I'm just gonna... I know most of the Big Six fan base are like this, but I think it's most here. I think you guys are just toxic. Like, the fan base is too toxic that yes, it's the Glazers and they absolutely suck and all that, but like, you think the players don't want to hear everyone complaining all the time? And maybe if there was like some serenity and peace and quiet for a hot second, they could actually figure their, like, everything out. Like,
but look at,
it's never going to happen, but like,
If you look at all the look at Arsenal. When did Arsenal's resurgence come? There was a change.
You gotta stop comparing yourself to them, man.
Hang on, I'm not saying we are. I'm not comparing us to them at all. We've already lost this bet. I'm way off on this previously. All I'm saying is that you look at when Arsenal made the change into performing better. There was a change in leadership structure. You look at what happened in Newcastle. Change in leadership structure.
But that's never going to happen, Nick, because the Glazers don't want to give it up.
This is what I'm saying. This is why everybody keeps saying it.
So then stop being mad. Just know that you live in the mid-table now. That's your life.
Oh, I wish I could reach through that screen and punch you right in the face right now.
You're wearing a Bayern jersey right now because you know that they got their ass kicked and they're gonna bounce back, and you're just ready to get punched in the face again. Already admitted defeat.
Yes,
you're mid table.
You asked me everything. You asked me what I thought, and this is what I thought. You know, you look at what we need. We've been calling for a sporting director for 8 years. Haven't gotten it. A director of football. Haven't gotten it. I mean, we can go on there, on there, on and on. They're just completely shit-run club.
The team needs to watch The Wizard of Oz and learn how to get hard. Then you can go from there.
I can use.
That's true, too.
They also probably need to reach out to Indeed and fill those positions. Because if they're hiring, that's something that they need to think about. Look, the only two other things I'll say are there's never been a team in the Premier League that needs to take a season off more than you guys. Like, you kind of did. Like a hiatus. You guys need to go to rehab. That's how I view it. And two, the internet's the internet. People love to see people slip and fall on ice. People love to see, like, royalty fall and slip on ice, or celebrities slip on ice even more. You guys just got to know that that's how you're viewed. You're always going to get more headlines just because you're who you are.
This is one of the things I was thinking about the whole time. For Liverpool, for City, well, you know, never in an actual sporting sense for City, but you know, depending on, like, charges, shit, whatever. Doesn't matter. Liverpool for City, for Manchester United, for Chelsea, for Spurs, for Arsenal. The benefit of being that top six team, the benefit of that is that you're never going to get relegated. You'll never be in that situation. You're never actually going to be at all in danger of not being in the Premier League anymore. And the bad part about that is that you will be criticized far more than anybody else will. We sit here and we see Bournemouth on level points with Chelsea, with Wolves, with Brentford. And you can look at all four of those teams. Chelsea are having a horrible season, right? Bournemouth are absolutely flying right now. Brentford are steady where they are. Like, there's just different perceptions of, like, where these teams are. And the luxury is you'll never get the benefit of the doubt there. But Bournemouth are probably never going to win a Premier League, okay? So you get to have the fact that you, at some point, you guys are going to be fine one day. Right now, you guys have to come to terms with the fact that you are not a big club right now, in the sense that you are not going to be in the top six. You are not a team that anybody is scared to go play. And the same thing with Chelsea. The difference between you and Chelsea is Chelsea are a little further along realizing that they need to strip away all that, we're Chelsea, we've won XYZ, we've done all this stuff. They need to go into every game like they are mid-table and that they need to be fighting to get back up there. You guys go into games like, if it doesn't come to me because we're Manchester United, it's not worth trying for. You guys had a moment in the beginning of that Bournemouth game where you had like three or four shots that got deflected right in like the third minute of the game, and you hear Old Trafford cheer and go start going crazy, like, come on, we can do it, we can get a goal. Not a minute later did Dom Solanke score on you guys, and then after that, dead silent.
Fucking brutal.
So
man,
if it doesn't come easy for these players right now, they don't want to do anything. And you can sit there and you can count the managers that have come through and not been able to get anything out of these players, with except for Jose Mourinho, who everyone shit on after he said that it was an accomplishment that they finished second. I don't think you sack Ten Hag either. I don't know how you keep him in the job, though, depending on what next week result might be, what getting kicked out of the Champions League, if you go all the way out or fall to Europa League. I agree with you that I don't think you can just get rid of him and then find somebody else. I don't know who else you sign. But the players and people, I know we don't like Anthony Martial, but...
No, we hate him.
I think...
No.
I think Rashford's done. I think he'll never.
No, he just got back with his girlfriend, so he scores goals again.
Fiance, that was
he got back a while ago. Yeah.
No, I agree. It kills me. The last couple of weeks, I'm like, fuck, he's done, dude. Like, it, you know, I love him. It kills me, though. Like, he needs a change of scenery.
Dylan, do you know who would look good in the Wolves jersey?
Rashford?
You do not want. He's
not I don't know.
He'll go abroad. He wouldn't do that. He'd go abroad.
We'd love him.
I know he wouldn't.
Molyneux
would love Marcus Rashford. They would. They absolutely would.
The thing is, the one thing I will say about Ten Hag, I can't see a pattern of play on the field. But when you're talking about these aren't his guys, Antony is his guy. Onana is his guy. I know Martinez is injured right now. Eriksen was signed under him. Mount has been injured. I understand. Amrabat, he wanted Amrabat. Hoyland has been in and out. They've been injured. I think what you guys need to do is literally, you guys need to start guys like Mainoo. Guys that are just, they're going to go out there and just absolutely run their ass off. And right now you guys have, and it is literally no more obvious than from the actions of the person who is your captain, that you guys have a bunch of people who do not want to play when it's hard. When it is difficult, they don't want to play. And Bruno Fernandes, I'm going to say right now, Bruno Fernandes knew next week was going to be difficult, and he got suspended for the game.
I'm just going to go and get the horse that we've been beating and bring it back in real quick. So
sorry, brother. I had a 3.5-hour car ride. Anybody else? Last thoughts? Go Cherries. No, up the Cherries. No. Up the Craigs.
Yeah, that's right. The last thing you got to say.
We suck. Cherries played well. We suck.
Yeah, the Cherries played well, too. Shout out to the Fighting Craigs.
Shout out to them. All right, we're going to run through the rest of the games here. Kicking off the week, we had Crystal Palace hosting Liverpool. Mateta penalty in the 57th minute, followed by a Mo Salah goal in the 76th and a Harvey Elliott goal in the 90-plus first. Then we had Brighton hosting Burnley. Burnley kicked it off. Odobert, I've never heard of this guy, but kind of a funny, cool name. Goal in the 45th, and then Adingra in the 77th. Gives them a 1-1 draw. Points for Burnley there. Sheffield United hosting Brentford. A McAtee absolute stunner in the 45th minute right before half. Sees the Blades getting 3 points. Wolves hosting Nottingham Forest. Mateus Cunha in the 30... Harry Toffolo in the 14th. And then Mateus Cunha leveling it up in the 32nd. Sees a 1-1 draw. John, this was the week to do your draws, it seems like. Then we went to Everton hosting Chelsea. I think this was pod-wide pick here. Decore in the 54th, and then Dobbin in the 90th minute sees the absolutely raging Toffees beat Chelsea. Fulham, 5, West Ham, 0. Jimenez, Willian, Adarbayo, Wilson, and Vinicius all scoring for Fulham. They're on an absolute tear as well. Luton Town hosting Manchester City. Adebayo in the 45th minute right before halftime, followed by Silva and Grealish, 62nd and 65th minute, sees City getting points at Luton. And we topped it off with another big game here. Spurs hosting Newcastle. Destiny Udogie in the 26th. Richarlison in the 38th and 60th. Hunmin Son penalty in the 85th. And then a consolation Joe Linton goal in the 90th minute. I think it showed how interesting the week was. I think the top prediction score was a 5-5 for three of us. I just have just some general questions based on all that stuff, and we can kind of mix the games in as we go. Villa, Arsenal, Liverpool, City looked like they struggled. We obviously struggled at Crystal Palace until IU got sent off in the 75th minute or whatever. Spurs looked good again, finally. Where do you guys all see... Who is the last team right now that is in a title race?
City.
You think it cuts off at City? You think Spurs are out?
Yes, oh, they have too many... They might be top four, potentially, but they're not in the title race.
So their run of games, they have Forest, Everton, Brighton, Bournemouth, Burnley in the Cup, United, Brentford. I think they have a pretty... pretty nice run of games from now, and they're still only 3 points out of top four.
You guys literally talk about Arsenal saying not doing anything. They do things in December. What do they do at the end of the year? Like, it's great. They have a great run now. They're not a part. I'm happy for Tottenham. They're not a part of this discussion.
No.
I'm just saying if they can get through this last period of time with, like, Madison out and they get him back.
No.
I think 0% chance.
I'm also cutting it there. I'm just trying to play devil. Trying to play devil. Good potting.
Good potting, Michael. Love it.
Thanks, I appreciate it. It's definitely sarcasm. Do you think they can get top four?
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you see, like, top four?
50-50.
Where do you think Brighton can get top four?
No.
So, and then Manchester United. Do you think they have a chance?
No.
I wouldn't. I'm leaning. No. It's definitely a no. It's like 90% no, 10%. You never fucking know, man. Like, you just never know.
I feel more confident about Newcastle maybe getting a top four spot somehow than United. I'll put it that way.
I would agree with that, but I wouldn't say it's a long shot, but it's not. Yeah. It's not like a hard no.
Never say never.
It's not no, but it's kind of no.
I mean, why show up? Like, you know, my AD says, you're one of my most positive coaches. You're playing the number one team in the state, and you just said you're going to win. You go, yeah, if we play well, of course we can. Why show up? And then we lose 15-0 and get no hit.
I'm not trying to go back to United here. It is kind of wild. You have zero draws this year.
You know, yeah, we're the anti-Nashville FC. It's cool.
Exactly. All right. Michael, to your point, I'm out on Brighton, fully out on Brighton. I think Newcastle could get top four. To Nick's point, I don't disagree with him. I think crazy things can happen. Like, Manchester United could get top four. It's definitely a possibility. I like their chances. No, I like Tottenham's chances more. Never mind. Just switch my mind. Right in the moment. So
Tottenham more than Man U to get top four.
Yeah.
Okay. We obviously, I brought it up. We talked about it over the weekend. Everton, currently in 17th on 13 points, had the 10 points deducted. They get those 10 points. I think they're going to appeal, maybe get some of those points back. Obviously, they're not going to get all of them. But if they did, they would actually be in 10th. A team that we have been pretty much across the board down on, Fulham, are actually sitting in 10th right now on 21, putting, I think, like 16 goals in the last four games. It's just absolute resurgence. But they're sitting ahead of teams like Brentford that we typically are kind of fans of. Obviously, Chelsea, no. Wolves, we thought they might have been worse this year than they are, but they look very good. And then Bournemouth on a little bit of a surge here. I just kind of want to know, how low do we think Chelsea can go? Because I think it could be really bad.
So they posed this question. That's the other one they talked about right after the games on NBC was, will Everton, even with the point deduction, be higher than Chelsea by the end of the year?
6 points off with the deduction.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about maybe getting like a handful back. So you're looking at about even right now if they get some of those points back. I think it's a no-brainer.
Before we give any analysis, I just want to put my hand up and just say how much we'd really hate to see that. We'd really hate to see Everton go above Chelsea with a points deduction. It would just be an awful thing. It'd be terrible for the league. It'd be terrible for this podcast to see something like that happen to a club as astute and as well-respected as Chelsea Football Club. So I just want that on the record.
Straight face. Good for you, buddy.
I think it's tough to predict the future, obviously, but in how current form is, I could see all of the teams that we mentioned above them, they're all playing better than them right now. Fulham, to be honest, is pissing me off because they keep beating teams 5-0 the week before the Wolves have to play them. So then those teams park the bus because they have to work on their defense, and we're not a team that knows how to handle that. So I really don't like Fulham at the moment. But like, the biggest difference at this point is all the teams that you mentioned that aren't Chelsea are normally mid-table teams for the most part, right? And they all know their identity. Everyone on the team knows their role. And they go out and they play. And they play for each other. They play for the club. They play for their coach. Chelsea's not at that point right now. They don't know what they want to be with the players they have. They haven't gelled. They haven't done what Pochettino, I think, wants them to do or what the identity is going to be. I mean, I think he's pretty sure he's come out and said that they need to change their identity, which means, hey, I want more money in January at this point. So, like,
he said that explicitly.
Yeah. So, like, that's essentially the answer, I feel like, is that you have a bunch of teams that know who they are. They're going to get the right people in January. I like to believe they do. There are a lot of normally well-run clubs, except for a few of us, meaning also the Wolves until recently, that don't know how to spend their money and not get in trouble. But, like, other than that, I would take all of them. Like, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot for saying this. Like, I'm not worried about December 24th right now. Let's put it that way.
Walking into Wolves Wonderland. I think that Chelsea are closer to a Crystal Palace than to any of these other teams right now.
Yes.
And I think that they have talent more than some of these people, some of these other teams that we've mentioned. But, like, man, Bournemouth haven't lost in five games. Wolves are a total Jekyll and Hyde. And, like, there's times where you guys look awesome. And then there's other times where I'm like, Dylan, remember when we thought they might get relegated? You didn't, but, like, other people, like, it kind of feels that way.
Wait till Neto comes back and we got to stop giving up a goal in the first 15 minutes. Then we'd be fine.
Yeah. But, I mean, Everton now, like, they just look solid. And to Dylan's point, like, it's like for all these teams, they're all going out to the match with elbow pads on, with the workman's hat on, with overalls on. And they're playing against a Chelsea who are still trying to play in a tuxedo, and they don't understand that it's a dogfight out there. And I think that's a great, like, analogy, a great point that Dylan had, where it's like, these teams know who they are. They have no problem playing this way, whereas Chelsea still want to do other things, and I think it's going to hurt them, obviously.
Anybody catch John saying that his analogy is great?
I meant Dylan's. I meant Dylan's his analogy. Was,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I took it as he was saying, he was giving me a compliment.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
I'm the idiot. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, I actually have written down in my little notebook here. I mean, you're taking Decore over Enzo or Caicedo with how he's playing on form. I'm not saying that the ceilings are the same or anything, but on form, you're taking Decore every time. You're taking McNeil over Mudryk for sure. You're taking Calvert-Lewin over Jackson. And I think that whole back line, I thought Mikalenko was unbelievable. I thought James Garner was unbelievable against Chelsea. I just think it's weird that I can't remember who I heard on my, you know, trip of 1,000 people listening to podcasts and stuff, but Sean Dyche has always been kind of profiled by me especially, but he's been profiled in a specific job, Burnley, survival, stuff like that. And he was brought in to keep Everton up. So he did a job, the same job he always does. And I think right now it's a little bit more flexibility to do some stuff he wants to do. And I like one of you guys said, he's making Decore look like top 10 midfielder in the Prem right now. And I think we have to sit there and go look back at these games that they've won that maybe we were like, man, I can't believe Everton pulled this out, or this team's not very good if they lost to Everton, and maybe start giving Everton a little bit more credit because they are a proper team right now, and Chelsea are such, it's been like this for 2 years now, such individuals that if Cole Palmer can have a spark of brilliance, they get a goal, or if Raheem Sterling can do something. But if those guys aren't firing, then there's no team. There's no cohesion. There's nothing. And I think a little bit, that's the question that I obviously came to because we've been comparing United and Chelsea and just talking about how bad the results are. I don't know who, I think they're, but neither one makes it the whole season, Pochettino or Ten Hag. I just don't know who goes first.
Ten Hag will make it the whole season.
Will not or will?
Will. He will. They won't fire him this season. He'll get the season.
I think Poch will too.
I would put money. I'll bet you $20 that Ten Hag will be the manager on August whatever the hell, you know, opening day is next year.
I don't think either 14th. Of them get fired. Honestly.
No.
I just think that it's like too, it's to I don't know if Nick keeps bringing it up or Dylan, but like
I think finally those teams saw that if you stand by your man long enough like Arsenal did, good things will happen. But, like, that doesn't... We're smart enough to know that, like, you have to stand by your man but also have a direction and also have to have a focus and a plan. I don't think the plan's there necessarily for either of those teams, but I do think that there's more slack for ETH and for Poch than there ever has been in these two clubs, I think.
And I don't want to get into this. I just want to reference, this is why I was making this comment before about, like, when Arsenal got a restructure, they restructured Arsenal and Newcastle and Brighton, all these clubs, is we're still waiting on, you know, the Jim Ratcliffe stuff to be announced, you know, and I've just seen the rumor mill of what's being put in here and there. So granted, you know, you have to think that hopefully if everything you see is somewhat true, even if it's half true, it's already better than what's in place. So you got to think that that can hopefully only show improvement. Now, if it doesn't go in, it'll go through. Bring the fucking Sheik back. Fuck it. Bring me that oil money and let's just go full heel evil empire. Like, I mean, that was a joke. We don't need to go into that. That was just a joke to end it. Like,
No. I'm just saying the Ratcliffe stuff is, he's going to be a 25% owner.
He has full sporting control.
Again, that stuff still has to go past all the people who are still in the club.
Everything he's hiring the guy from PSG, like he's hiring all the sporting side of everything, and he's been given within the contract, the deal, he's given full sporting control. Like the Glazers just want to collect their paycheck.
Join us midweek for our Man United deep dive, guys. All right, what else do we want to hit on before we get into some of like the jokes or the prediction to get us out of here? Just because I get what we're saying, but we can do a Man United pod deep dive if we really need to.
We don't.
I don't have anything else.
You had nothing else? I'll say this. Brighton. I sense you guys. Brighton's a fugazi. I think Brentford is like somehow hiding in the corner from any criticism. I think they've been weird this year too. I think they're all really lucky that they had a ton of points at the beginning of this year, West Ham included. That's my other top tier non-dead ball analysis that someone also told me I had in the comments. Just lashing out really hard on this pod.
I also just think you have to be careful who... I don't know how I would ever be able to do this, but who you're running into at what points of the season. Because I think if you're running into Fulham right now, or you're running into Bournemouth right now, like, it's just a buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Fulham form is, what, the past, like, three or four games, it's eventually going to tail off. Like, you always resort back to whatever your mean is. I think you have to take that with a grain of salt. Not defending West Ham. I know they're a tier three team. I know Wolves are as well, Dylan. Don't worry. But yeah, I do think the Brentford point is true. I just think that they're one of the hardest teams to predict because you just don't know what kind of performance you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, if we're doing power rankings right now, your top five have to be Villa, Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton in some order. I don't know what that order is. I think you got to give it to Villa because of the type of wins they've had. But like those three other teams, man, Fulham. Did I say Fulham? I said Fulham, right?
Yeah.
I mean, scoring 10 goals in two games. Their goal differential is zero now, which is insane. But I know they tied. I know they drew you guys this week, Dylan. I don't think Nottingham Forest is very good. I think Crystal Palace is in a crisis right now of, like, you got to get Hodgson out of there. And Michael and I talked about that last pod. Like, they need an identity too. They're just lucky that Luton, Burnley, and Sheffield are just that bad this year. So that's how I feel.
I agree.
Dylan, you want to get us out of here with a joke?
So, for the holidays, what did the referee send to Romero?
Christian Romero?
Yeah, a red card. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.